Welcome to this week's edition of Mountain Outhouse News. I'm your host, Jam Jam. This is the craziest to happen in running this week. This week's stories include Sweeney's 1309 100 miler, an issue with the longstanding 100K women's world record, and pumpkin spice shoes? Remember a while back when I called out Strava for their Suunto integrations on mine and others' pages whenever we recorded an activity with our Suunto Spartan Ultra watches? Well, they've officially announced they are rolling out sponsored integrations. There will now be sponsored posts in your feed and on certain activities recorded with your certain GPS devices. If you aren't a fan of the feature, you can choose to turn it off by clicking on the activity and disabling the sponsor integration. You're welcome. If you like it, leave it. Phil McCarthy wrapped up his transcontinental run today as I filmed this show. He ran from San Francisco to New York City. He finished in 49 days, 7 hours, and some odd minutes, which is one of the top fastest crossings in history. I couldn't honestly exactly find the information on where he falls in the list, but it was a few days behind Pete Kostelnik's fastest known crossing from a couple years back. Congrats, Phil. We just saw the fastest 100-mile time of 2018 take place at Illinois' Hennepin 100. This point-to-point race along a fairly flat canal path is pretty much the opposite of what I stand for. But despite that, I can respect the run flat, stay low lifestyle. All you Midwesterners dig. The race starts due west of Chicago, and ultra-runner Jim Sweeney, who's no stranger to fast 100-mile times, for instance, his 2012 Umstead in 14:14 and 14:07 earlier this year, really put down an effort with a win in 13 hours, 9 minutes. That's the fastest 100-miler by anyone so far in 2018. I think I said that already. Angela Friedman was your ladies' winner in 19 hours, 29 minutes. Peculiar to note, although the race has a stated 30-hour cutoff time, we did observe ultra legend Ann Trason did receive a buckle and finish time of 39 hours, 15 minutes for the 100-miler. Flagstaff Sky Peaks was just hours away from becoming the Flagstaff Snow Peaks as snow began to fall just as the final 50-mile finishers arrived at the finish line. Snow continued to fall overnight, and there was over 6 inches of accumulation by morning at the finish line. Vince LaRue took the win, and in the new 50-mile distance that circumnavigates the San Francisco Peaks, in 10 hours, 15 minutes, and Nikki Wren was your women's champ in 13:31. In the 50K, we saw Andy Wacker destroy the course with a win in 4 hours, 32 minutes, followed up by Flagstaff local Caleb Schiff about 45 minutes back. Brianna Grigsby won the women's 50K in 6:39, followed up by Jenny Gormley in 7:34. We saw another marvelous Mako Marathon performance this past weekend, this time at the Long Beach Marathon, winning in 2:25. And check out that signature finish line, limbo. See him return to ultras later this month at the Javelina 100. Boom! World records, they may seem pretty straightforward to us as casual participants and observers of the sport, but there are actually quite a few rules and regulations in place by international governing bodies, and rightly so. We surely want standards when it comes to claiming world best performances. But what happens when those international governing bodies ignore their own rules and ratify a record that does not fulfill the requirements for a world record? Is this even possible, and has it ever happened? Well, my brother mentioned to me the curious case of the women's 100-kilometer world record, and it deserves a bit of a closer peek. According to a press release put out by Ken Young, Andy Milroy, and Riel Hallman, published in 2003, Ann Trason lost her ratified record, which was set in international competition, was drug tested, and her best was set on a loop course with no separation of the start and finish lines. One of the rules for a world best is that the start and finish locations, if point to point, cannot be more than 30% of the race distance apart. The race that Tomo Abe set when she ran an insane 6:33.11 was way faster than the next best, that being Anne in 7 hours and 48 seconds. Turns out the IAAF, who ratifies these records, ignored its own criteria in recognizing Abe's record, since it had at least 40% separation between the start and finish lines, and there was a tailwind for 70% of the race. What are your thoughts, Outhouse Nation? Should they go back and take a closer look at this one? Maybe retroactively DQ it? The Beast Coast Grindstone 100 happened this past weekend, and we saw a new course record on the ladies' side with Shannon Howell running 22 hours, 22 minutes. Justina Wilson followed up in 23:23. Michael Owen took the win on the men's side in 20 hours, 8 minutes, bettering his third place finish from 2014. He bested Travis Zipfel, who was your runner-up 14 minutes later. If you're into this sort of thing, the USATF Road 50 Mile National Championships took place again at the Tussey Mountainback 50 Mile. We saw some pretty fast times from your winners, with Zach Ornelas clocking in a 5:55, which is the second fastest 50 miler so far this year. For men, and Keely Henninger running the fastest women's time so far this year in 6:37. The ELS 2900 is an event in Andorra that is solidly on my bucket list. It's an unmarked partner race that summits the seven highest peaks in Andorra over some 44 miles. I'm pretty hurt, actually, that race winner Dakota Jones didn't ask me to join him as his partner. Instead, he crushed the course record with Nick Elson in 12 hours, 18 minutes. Well, I guess, congrats, guys. The race is pretty small, with just 27 teams in total towing the line. Brittany Peterson has quietly been attacking the world skyrunning circuit, along with the Lund family, all year. She finally got a big win at the Pyrin Ultra Sky Race in Bulgaria. She finished the 41-mile course in 9 hours, 1 minute, with a solid 30-plus minute win margin. On the men's side, Dmitry Mityev took the win. That's all I gotta say about that. Now here's a race I can get behind. Yeah, I'm a bit burnt on all the blank mile races going on. Insert beer, wine, pumpkin spice, etc. But what about the Seltzer Mile in Boulder? Sponsored by Come and Go? Yes, please. I definitely saw jeans and jorts, underwear on the outside of a pair of a bathing suit, a pumpkin, and even a onesie bathing suit? Looks like a fun crew. Anyone want to take me on at Javelina? Because I'm totally down. It's fall slash pumpkin spice season, and of course, do we not only now have pumpkin spice 5Ks infiltrating the running scene, but Saucony has dropped a pumpkin spice shoe. Kid you not, what do you think about that? Saucony Freedom ISO 2 Pumpkin Spice Edition basically looks like you dropped a pumpkin spice latte on your brand new white kicks. Barf. And with that, thanks for tuning in to episode 114 of Outhouse News. Thanks for checking out the show, and we'll see you next time. If you have crazy stories to share or a question or feedback for the show, please leave a comment below. If you'd like to directly support the show financially, consider becoming a Patreon supporter of this channel, or pick up this custom pair of Jam Jam's flamingo sunglasses. Links below. Happy Giddy Week.